During the ice storm in Quebec, our town was hit as one of the worst of all. Our house was frozen for 21 days without electricity. The government of Quebec felt very badly about that. They wanted to provide us with relief. Each family would get a certain number of dollars. And we were to make an application at a place downtown in our city, stand in line, below freezing weather, for hours to get this relief money. But you only could get it until 4:30 in the afternoon. It's very interesting when people are in a tragic situation. Everyone was very quiet. No one grumbled. They knew they were getting money. And there was a really warm spirit among all the people that were there. Well, we went in and got our money, and they closed the doors at 4:30. On the way out, and there were four huge, burly policemen standing at the doors at 4:30. On the way out, there was a woman standing there with her children, pleading with the policeman, "I need this money. Please let me in." And the policeman says, "We have our rules. We told you well in advance. The doors close at 4:30. The woman did not receive a dime. She was in need. It was freezing. She had her children with her, but they had their rules. Now, we'd like to give you a good message today of good news. God offers to every one of you the gift of eternal life in the person of His Son. But God has His rules. I'm so glad the young man read the passage in Hebrews. The people of God could get into the promised land if they exercised faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews also says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that is judgment." Now, we want to give you good news. The good news of salvation, if you're going to receive this eternal life, is you must trust now in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins. Sounds simple enough. But we put it off. We don't like it. We have different ideas. We feel, well, if we're good enough and we do good works and we go to church and we're good citizens, we won't follow that formula. We won't believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then you die. God has a program. And He shuts the door of salvation. You die. And you die in your sins without Christ and without God. And you try to plead your case in eternity to no avail. To no avail. You can look back and think back and wonder. And this is what I wonder about. You know, there's the grinding of the teeth in lostness. I had every opportunity. I even went to that Wauwatosa Chapel, and that fellow who looks like Anthony Hopkins was there. You know, someone told me that yesterday. They said, "You know, you resemble Anthony Hopkins." And I hope he took the right picture. It wasn't the Silence of the Lambs. He said it was Shadowland. Well, that's when he played C.S. Lewis. Well, when that man preached, I listened, but didn't make any, he didn't really impress me. I didn't get anything out of it. He always was emphasizing faith in the person of Christ, but I've got my own agenda. I have my own ideas. I know what I want to do, and I let that go. Let me read you a verse of Scripture. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 36. When we first came to this group of Christians, and Gus Quint was teaching Sunday school, and we were in his Sunday school class, this is one of the verses we memorized. Now, Gus had all different ways to get us to memorize. You know, flashlights, pocket knives, all kinds of little gifts. Go to camp free. If we could memorize the Scripture. What he wanted us to do is get the Scripture into our life, into our mind. I memorized hundreds of verses of Scripture with Gus Quint. And here's one of them. He who believes in his Son, in the Son, has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Oh, I'd like to say to all of you, please, please think about it. I'd like to take each one of you, if I could, into the presence of Almighty God and say, please tell God that you accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Tell God that you are a sinner. You're without hope and you're lost. Tell the Lord this, please, so that you might be saved, that you might receive eternal life. But you have a will. You have an upbringing. You have things that you think are all right. And you neglect the most important decision of your life. And the part about this verse, which is very disturbing, because here we want to preach the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. But he hates sin. He can't tolerate sin. Sin will never enter his presence. And if you go into eternity still in your sins, and you die in your sins, you will have to pay the consequences. It says in this verse that if you believe in the Son, you will have everlasting life. But if you don't, you might say, wait a minute. Look at all the religions in the world. Mr. Thrall, believe. Listen a minute. There are all kinds of persuasions, all kinds of ideas. You're sort of narrowing it down to one person. And Jesus said this in the Scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oh, wait a minute. Is this the Christian gospel? Are you narrowing the opportunity to one simple thought? Yes. Really? Do you mean to tell me my destiny, my life depends on the person of Jesus Christ? Yes. Really? What about all the things that I think are right? They're not right. Not according to the gospel of the Scriptures. What about the way I've been taught? What about nature and man and the goodness of man? Well, nature's there. I doubt whether the goodness of man is there. But man is there. Yes, all those things are there. We're talking about eternal salvation. This eternal salvation is found uniquely in the one who was crucified, in the person of Jesus, who is called the Christ, who called himself the Son of God and the Son of Man. Your salvation, my salvation, is in his hands. Really? What if I don't like that? Well, here's the part of this verse that's so disturbing. That the person who does not believe, the wrath of God abides on him. Oh, I don't like that word, wrath. I hesitate to bring this to your attention. There were people who thought they knew the Lord in Matthew 7. And they said, Lord, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. But they never trusted Jesus Christ personally. And he had to say them to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, something about a door. Really, when you shut a door and you're in the room and you shut the door. Now, I know there's some people who are claustrophobic and they don't like to be shut into a room. One of the things that really disturbed me as a boy, when I went to my grandfather's funeral, and it was in the parlor and his body was there, and I didn't want to touch. Come, Bobby, come and kiss your grandfather. I'm going to kiss a cadaver. I didn't want to kiss a dead body. It was cold anyway. But the thing that bothered me, I know it was just the body, is when they closed the coffin. He's going to suffocate in there. Open it back up. There's a finality about that. Finality about closing the door. That poor woman and her children, there was a finality, but 4:30 they closed the door. No more money was given out. They had their rules, and the rules would not be bent for anyone. A finality about the wrath of God. Now, I don't want anyone in this place to have to taste the wrath of God. This is the good news we want to share with you. We want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we have our own way of doing things. Well, that's the way you see it. You know, when you read a simple text like this, what is it that, it's not my way of looking at it. Look at the text. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. You couldn't get more simple statement than that. But our attention is not on that. We don't want to think that way. I'll give you an argument. And we fight, and we push, we neglect, because some of us, we don't want to admit anything about sin. We don't want to say, well, I am lost, and I am the sinner, and I need a Savior. We don't want to say that. Human nature wants to think everything is just fine. We're all right. You're okay. I'm okay. The world's wonderful. Everybody's doing everything wonderfully. There is no sin. We can be in denial. It doesn't change the truth. When you die without Christ and you die in your sins, you are going to be cast into outer darkness. You know, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking for the day when Christ returns and we're going to be with him forever. We're looking for that moment when we'll see him face to face. I want to turn that around for a moment. Believe me, there will be a moment in your life that I do not want you to have. When you die in your sins, without Jesus Christ, there's a moment when you're going to look, as it were, in the face of God, and He's going to have to say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Bang! The door closes. You're not going to have all of your so-called support groups and all of your friends around you saying, "It's okay. This isn't so bad." You're going to be eternally, listen for a moment, you're going to be eternally alone in despair and in suffering without hope, without Christ, without God, by yourself. That's the wrath of God. Well, how come this happened to me? Because you wouldn't admit in this life that you needed a Savior. You wouldn't admit in this life that you had sinned against God. Now, I was not a big sinner as a boy. I went into a candy store one day, and I must have been 10 years old. No one was looking, and I liked the old Henry candy bar. And I was looking at the counter, and I'm looking around, and I just took that and put it in my pocket. And when I put it in my pocket, now listen, I was not under the sound of the gospel. My mother and father, really, they didn't practice any religion. My mother had been Roman Catholic, my dad was a Mormon, but they didn't do anything. And when I put that in my pocket, my heart started beating. I felt uncomfortable. I don't know, what is this? I'm just taking a little candy bar from this big store. They won't miss it. I walked outside, got away with it, ate the candy bar, and felt miserable. Now, where did that guilt come from? I mean, that's a little candy bar. I mean, you think of what 10-year-olds are doing today, shooting with guns. You know, they're not even, they just, "Oh, I got that one." No sense of right and wrong. And here, a little 10-year-old boy steals a candy bar and feels guilty about it. God was already at work in my life. Now, we don't want to miss those opportunities. I don't know how sensitive you are to the voice of God through other people, through His creation, through His Word. But maybe there have been times that you are. You know, I was in the service in France. We had an atheist soldier in the group. And one summer evening, 7 o'clock at night, it was just beautiful. The wind was very light. It was about 72 degrees. There was a little haze, and everything was sort of a brownish color. Everything was just absolutely beautiful. He knew I was a believer. He knew I was a Christian. And he was on guard duty. He always stood at the gate, and he was a terrific soldier. He looked beautiful. He had his, everything was always shiny. He was a terrific soldier. And I was going out the gate, and he called me over. He said, "Bob, I had the strangest experience last night. You know how beautiful it was last night?" I said, "Yeah, wasn't that a beautiful evening?" And this was his answer: "I had nobody to thank." Think about that. I had nobody to thank. You see, as a believer, I lifted up my heart to the Lord. "Thank you, Lord, for this creation. Thank you for this evening." He had no one to thank. I don't want you to be in that position. Here at this group of believers, we don't want you to be in that position where you are under the wrath of God, where you're going to have to stand alone in eternity and face the penalty for your sins. Wouldn't it be much better if you would look to Jesus Christ, who faced Himself alone the penalty for your sins? Oh, is that what He did? That's what He did. Really? When Jesus died on that cross, The scriptures are very clear. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and the third day he rose again. Really? You mean this Jesus who died on the cross is alive today? He is. And that's why we have a wonderful gospel to proclaim. And that's why you don't have to face the wrath of God, because it pleased the Father to lay upon him the sins of us all. That's love. That's love. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross because he loves you. He doesn't want the wrath of God to abide on you forever, where you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for every little sin you've ever committed forever and ever and ever. He doesn't want that. That's why he went to the cross. So he could take upon himself your sin and my sin, that he might forgive you. So that when those beautiful nights come, you will be able to say, "Thank you, Lord, for your creation." So that when you meet others who know the Lord Jesus, you can say to them, "The Lord is coming, Maranatha." So that when you're alone, and to whatever room you're in, no matter how many doors are closed, you are never alone. Never alone, ever. You know, it's a hard thing to be alone. Alone in our thoughts, alone in our misery, alone in our lives. Many people, many young people, many teenagers are taking their lives because they're so lonely and everything is in such disarray and they're so empty. They say, "What's the sense of living?" They take their lives. How sad. Because what they've done is they've condemned themselves. They've condemned themselves to a Christless eternity. "For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." And all they've got left to face is judgment. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your background has been, what your upbringing is. I'm going to read this verse again. Go through this verse. I'm only taking one verse of Scripture. I want to read it to you again. Listen carefully. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Please accept the first part of this verse for yourself today. Please join with me in thinking about this first part. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Would you do that? Well, I don't know. Please, stop a moment. Stop a moment in your life. You know, my dad, this chapel years ago, but he didn't want anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. He wanted to see who these people were that were influencing his sons. He wanted to meet Gus. He didn't like Gus. I'm sorry, Nettie, he didn't like Gus. He didn't like anybody who was telling them about the Bible. But we did finally get him to come. He said, "Now look, I'll come to that place, but I don't want anybody to ask me if I'm saved." They won't ask you that. I thought. So he came, and the gospel was preached, and it was a dear brother-in-law. I'm not going to name him. Some of you know who he is, but I'm not going to publicly name him because he's a dear brother. But he had a tendency to talk to people at the back of the assembly and ask them anyone was new, he always asked the same question. So he wasn't doing anything out of character. So my dad is ready to leave. Mr. Thrall, very happy to see you. Are you saved? My dad was home, went home, and he was livid. He said to my mother, Helen, they asked me if I was ready for Freddie. He said, I'm never, never going back there again. Well, fortunately, I can tell this story because later on, my dad did come to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I was in college at the time. I get a telephone call. It's my dad. He said, I want to tell you something, son. I'm saved. You're what? I've been praying all this time, and when he tells me, I don't believe it. I said, when did that happen? Well, he said, son, I had a very bad heart attack. Now, he had rheumatic heart. He had a very bad heart attack in 1945. So that's why he went to Tucson, Arizona, to change the climate. He said, I had a very, very bad heart attack. I was dying. I was in the hospital room. One of the full-time workers in the area that my dad never met came into the room. And my dad saw him coming in the door, and he said, stop. You're a man of God, and you're here to tell me how to be saved, right? And the man said, yes, that's right. And he explained the gospel, and there on that bed, my dad trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So he called me, and I said, I can't wait to talk to you, Dad, to tell you. He said, I can't wait to talk to you, son. We can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ together now. My mother, after we moved from 35th Street, we went to 22nd Street, and we lived in an old barn. My folks had a bad habit. These were the days when they didn't know the Lord. They'd never pay their rent. You know, and you don't pay your rent in many cities, and this is one of them. They don't like that when you don't pay your rent. And they cast them out. And so we lived in this barn. So one day, Al and I were in the kitchen with our mother. They said, Mom, we got to tell you, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just think, you know, two teenage boys talking to their mother. Now, many of you know my mother was an alcoholic. So we had a very rough time with her. And then in that kitchen, she said, what do I have to do to be saved? Philippian jailer. Would you kneel with us here in the kitchen, Mom? Would you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And my mother knelt with us in the kitchen, Al and myself, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. What am I saying to you? Why am I giving you these stories? The Lord can save anyone, yourself included, no matter what your background, no matter what your feelings. The Lord wants to bring you into his family. The key word in this verse is believe. We're in the Gaspé. Visit hundreds of homes. Everyone had the same answer. We're doing the best we can. Why, we've built up so many good works. God's going to look favorably upon us because of the good works we've done. And then we quote them scripture. But it's not by works of righteousness. It's not according to our good deeds that he saves us. It's according to his mercy in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. And what kind of answers did we get? We don't want Jesus. We want our good works. Now be careful this morning. You know, you're responsible for the knowledge you have. I'm trying to make this as clear as I can. Did you get the point? In order to become a child of God, in order to get into the family of God, in order to be converted, in order to be saved, in order to be born again, I don't know how many other terms I'm going to use, in order for you to be at peace with God, you must believe that Jesus died for your sins. You must believe that you are lost in your sins, that you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. We change the scene. You don't do anything here. You don't do anything for the rest of your life. We go back to what I started with. You die in your sins. You're in eternity. And you say, I never heard the gospel. Well, wait a minute now. Didn't Anthony Hopkins talk to you? Didn't he just try to spell it out for you that you had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Didn't someone tell you that? Why didn't you believe? You're not going to have an answer. It's too late. I'll believe, not too late. There's no second chance. I don't want you ever to hear these words from God. Depart from me, I never knew you. Why don't you enter into the joy of salvation? All right, swallow your pride. Everything else you thought you knew, all the other isms that you thought you'd follow, all the reincarnation ideas that you may have had, all the get-better theories of humanism. And just take the place as a child today. Just a small little child. And just look up to God the Father. And just say, Father, I believe your Son died for my sins. I want to trust in Jesus Christ right now as my Savior. I don't have everything straightened out, but this much I know. I'm hurting. I'm lost. I'm empty. And I don't want to taste your wrath. And I don't want to go to a Christless eternity. And I don't want to stand before the judgment of God, the great white throne judgment, and be judged for my sins. I believe Jesus was judged for my sins. I trust your Son, Jesus, as my Savior right now. Bow your heads, please. I'm going to give you a few minutes to think about what the gospel is, about this verse of scripture, about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If God, the Holy Spirit, has been speaking to your heart, then do it right now. Trust in Jesus Christ right now. Now I'm going to give you that time to do it. Think about it. Oh God, our Father, you know every person here. You know the day they were born and the day they're going to die. You know why you brought that person or those persons to this chapel today. We pray that they will respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And during that moment of silence, that someone will have said to you, I want to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. We pray, Father, that if someone has done that, they will let me know, or someone else here, that today they were born of the Spirit of God. We trust that you will work a mighty work in the hearts of these people as we sing a closing hymn, for we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.